Welcome to It's Funny You Ask. My name is Kendra Aris, and I'm your host. I'm an over-caffeinated, hyper-focused oddbreaker from the rural heart of America. I'm a licensed cosmetologist turned beauty influencer. I was born in the 1970s, and I'm the CEO of a women's empowerment conference called You Conferences. I think this gives me a unique perspective of the women of the world, and I want to share that with you. This podcast has been inspired by the likes of Paul Harvey and Dorothy Gale, characters that have taught me that taking people at face value is never the whole story. In this podcast, I'm revealing the proverbial woman behind the curtain and people that have inspired me in my journey, and I really hope they'll inspire you. So join me for the next half an hour, or probably a little longer, while I gain some insight from today's guest. Hello, friends. We're on episode 76 of It's Funny You Ask with my friend Angie Chaplin. And you know, this girl is out doing the things. This is another speaker spotlight for You Conferences on March 23rd and 24th. Important to note, it is not a two-day conference. It is March 23rd is an evening event for a couple of hours to get to know people. It's totally optional. And March 24th is the day of the conference. So I hope you will grab your ticket virtually or in person. And Angie is a highlight speaker telling a lot about herself and her story. And you get a little sneak peek into who she is. But talk about somebody living at the peak of their vision right now. And I am so inspired by her and hope you will enjoy this interview with Angie. I'm welcoming. Zoom had to tell me recording was in progress and it completely shut my brain off. I'm welcoming Angie Chaplin to the podcast. Angie's been on before. She's coming to us as a speaker spotlight for the next You Conference, Imperfectly You. I happen to have in front of me, Angie, the Imperfectly You stickers for our swag.
Nice.
They just showed up at my house yesterday. So
yes,
we love a good sticker.
We do, right? I don't have my coffee mug with me today, but that's where I put all of mine is I've got one of those big Yeti cups. And then I strategically put my stickers so that when I'm on camera doing something like this, then I can hold it just the right way so that whatever sticker I'm feeling that day is in front of all the wonderful viewing and listening. Well, not so much listening, I guess, but.
Yeah, I love that so much. So I'm talking to you, like I said just before we got live, that that you're an old hat at this because I've interviewed you on my podcast before. You spoke last year at You Conferences as a breakout session, but this time you're telling a little bit more intimate details of your story. Mm-hmm. And so let me just kind of introduce who you are, or have you introduce who you are. I think that you're in my mind, you are first and foremost a sobriety advocate. And I love that about you. And then you're secondarily in my mind, the mom of this proud mother of these ginormous boys.
Yes, that is a good way to describe them. Yes.
Proud Hawkeye football player. One of them is right now, correct?
Right.
Right. But I love when I see pictures of you and your sons because you and I are quite short people. So it's maybe misleading, but next to those football players, you look even shorter, but it's really fun to watch you support your sons. And then third, you do some coaching. So dive in a little bit deeper on those parts of your life and what you do.
Well, what's interesting is that since you and I spoke last, and it's been a couple of different times, so I don't even remember exactly when the last time was, but things have grown and evolved and shifted and expanded in ways I never would have expected. So my word for 2021 was becoming. And that was really the first year that I was becoming who I'm meant to be. And I use becoming as a verb because I don't feel that there's an ending. I feel that it's an ongoing process, this becoming. And that's what I spent a lot of my time and energy doing in 2021. And honestly, there were times that I didn't know what I was becoming in terms of what services or what programs or what offerings I would be involved with. And then my word for 2022 has been emerge. And emerge, at the time that I landed on that word, I still had the question, emerge as what? Emerge as who? I knew the who would be someone grounded in my values because that's really been essential to who I am. But it was, what does that mean? Does that mean emerging as a leader? Does that mean emerging as a mom? Does that mean emerging as a business owner? And what it has come to be is emerging as a public advocate for living, loving, and leading an extraordinary alcohol-free life.
You have been doing some big moves in that portion of your life. You've not been playing very small, my friend.
I have been incredibly fortunate with the individuals that I've reached out to, that they are welcome, so welcoming in hearing my voice as that advocate. And it's interesting because the people that I have reached out to, it's not even been random. It's been because of something. So for example, sure. I had a television kind of segment a couple of weeks ago on Hello Iowa.
Yeah, that was Megan. First on my list to get you to talk about. You are just rolling right through. So yes,
and how that came to be was they had done a segment in dry January about mocktails. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that is so awesome that they are doing something around mocktails. And one of my areas of emphasis or passion, I guess, is what happens beyond dry January, right? Or sober October or whatever month we're focusing on. Because if we realize that we don't need alcohol in our lives, or we want to continue to reevaluate our relationship with alcohol, then what? So I reached out to Megan and shared my story. And about the same time is when the Business Record contacted me about their women's publication, Fearless. And they were doing a kind of a theme around healthcare and wanted to introduce really resources available for individuals who wanted to continue to explore their own relationship with alcohol. And just in talking with Megan Barsky, who's the editor, and Megan Kestel on her editorial team, I just felt very, very safe in being completely vulnerable. So that was the first time that really the whole story was put out there. And the support was just incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it was really cool to watch from my point of view. And, you know, on the subject of mocktails, I will tell you, I think that's probably my husband's biggest frustration. My husband's sober and has been for a few years now. And one of our biggest frustrations is dining out. Right. When, like, you don't always want a pop or a soda if you're outside of Iowa. The other thing that I noticed was, so a friend and I were out for dinner the other night and she ordered a cranberry juice and I ordered a cranberry Tito's. They came in different glasses. Hers was in like a soda glass and mine was in like a cocktail glass, and mine had like a lime wedge and like a cocktail straw, and hers had like a giant, soda straw. Mm-hmm. And it was in a, you know, a plastic glass. And I was like, that shouldn't be that way. Right. Like, yeah. I would love to see those things change. And, you know, coming from somebody that's not sober, but is certainly an advocate for those that need to be and you know, want to support that. I think that, like, I noticed those little differences. And my husband, you know, he's like, you know, I wouldn't mind having a drink of some kind. They all have alcohol in it, and simply taking the alcohol out isn't always the answer. Clearly it's going to come in a kid's cup.
So. Except for places like Unimpaired Dry Bar in Iowa City, yeah. Which was another just happy accident, perhaps, or divine intervention, or a universal manifestation, whatever we want to call it. But I was able to connect with Unimpaired in Iowa City. And it was really about understanding, what does an alcohol-free bar look like? What does that feel
what
like?
What does an alcohol-free bar look like? I have questions.
Oh my gosh. It is everything that a person would go to a traditional bar for, except alcohol. We have Moscow Mules. We have mimosas. We have Jackless Coke. We have smoked Camitos. We have all the drinks that sound fancy and look fancy. And we've got smoking drinks that have smoke coming out of the top. Dartboards, pool tables, televisions all over the places, food, drinks. It's all the things that people go to a traditional bar for, except alcohol. And when people come in and are surprised that Unimpaired doesn't have alcohol, that's really the first sign that it's a place who welcomes everybody.
Well, because I would imagine when, and I know my husband has the same issue, you know, when every, like, so many adult places to go revolve around the alcoholic bar. So, like, if you're not drinking, you definitely feel outcast, besides the fact that everything's coming in a kid's cup and is not, you know, crafted in any way, but also that, you know, everybody else is drinking. And there are some people that have no problem with that interaction. And there are others that need a separation from the interaction of people that are drinking. And I certainly can respect both sides of that. So that's really, and I think it's amazing that that's put in Iowa City, which is what, like, one of the top drinking colleges in the U.S.
Exactly. And that was one of the reasons I went to them, is because I want to start a Sober Hawkeyes tailgating club.
Oh, cool.
For this fall. And so I thought, oh, you know, probably would be a great place to connect with in terms of support. And when I walked in, it was early December, and sat down with the operations founder, Amber. And I'm like, hey, I've got this idea. I want to do this. And she's like, oh my God, we want to do the same thing. And it was just that rush of synergy where we were kind of just, you know, ideas were just bouncing back and forth. And so that'll be something we're putting together. I've got some other people who are helping me carry it out, but there will be a Sober Hawkeyes tailgating club this fall at the University of Iowa tailgating party galore. And yeah, we're going to fit right in and blend right in. And it'll be a place for everyone who wants to celebrate all the things that are Hawkeyes.
That's cool. So your business is called Mindful Leadership, correct?
Yes.
So what's Mindful Leadership up to these days? Because I don't know how you have time for any sort of leadership coaching. So what, with all of this going on, so what are you up to?
I am doing a lot more of, it's a sidebar to coaching. So most of my programs are group, whether that's a group workshop or a group facilitation. There's very few one-on-one coaching engagements that I am involved in, and that is by choice. I have a background as a higher education faculty member, so I'm used to teaching groups of individuals and facilitating leadership workshops for companies and organizations. And so the times that I have done a handful of one-on-one coaching engagements, it just didn't fill me up in the same way that speaking in front of a lot of people, that's what gives me the energy. I feed off the energy of people in that room. Yeah. So as my business emerges and the mindful leadership side continues to expand, it's including programs like Smart Recovery, where I facilitate online recovery meetings that are free. Smart Recovery is an international alternative to traditional 12-step programs
That's my next question. How is it different? Because the 12-step program wasn't a great option for some people that I know, and it's a great option for others. So I think the general public doesn't know what else exists.
Right. Exactly.
So how is Smart Recovery different?
Yeah, what attracted me to Smart Recovery is because it aligned with all of my work in leadership. So my leadership work is evidence-based. So it's based on, you know, 40 years of research went into the leadership challenge, and it's continually being added to as a body of work that combines the art and science of leadership. Smart recovery is the same premise. It is built on the science of addiction recovery. And the science of addiction is what it does to our brains, what it does to our thoughts, which impact our behaviors, which impact our feelings. Yeah. So it's a behavioral change model for life beyond addiction. So it's built on 4 points, and the 4 points are grounded in science, research, evidence, all of the things that we know to be true about the impact of drugs and substances on a person's neurochemistry, but also body chemistry.
So is that geared toward just alcoholism, or
no?
Other, how far does it spread out, or what types of addiction does it cover, or does it help?
It is open to anyone dealing with addictive behaviors, problematic behaviors. And that definition is purposely vague, because that could be somebody who is scrolling social media needlessly just to fill a void. And so we get at, what void are you trying to fill? What are you trying to avoid by filling your time with addictive behaviors? And let's face it, I'm guilty too of, you know, scrolling on social media. And when I stop myself, it's really asking, what am I missing? And I know for me, one of my values is connection. So if I haven't been, you know, if I haven't been out talking to somebody or connecting with my community in whatever way, then that might be a way I'm trying to fill that void for connection.
So and really, it sounds like you identify what your values are, and then you return to that, to which is exactly what, you know, leadership and business should be doing too. So
absolutely.
I love that.
Absolutely. Yes. Yep. So it's open to anyone. I facilitate online meetings every Sunday evenings, and mine are discussion oriented. So I will focus on one of the 4 points of smart recovery. And since they're online, I can open it up to people globally. I've had individuals who are in Australia, where it's the next morning when I'm holding my meeting on a Sunday night, it's Monday morning for them. So we have participation from everywhere.
How would somebody get connected to that program if that's something that they want to look into?
They can go to the Smart Recovery website, which is just smartrecovery.org. They can go to my website, angiechaplin.com, and click on recovery. There's more information about Smart Recovery there. They're welcome to get in touch with you. You can get them in touch with me. Absolutely. They can find me on Facebook or all the socials. So we try to make it as easy as possible. And that's been one of my driving forces behind emerging as this public advocate, was because if I had known that programs like Smart Recovery existed more than 10 years ago, when I was beginning my struggle with alcohol addiction, it would not have taken me 10 years to find a place of well-being. And that's what I want to do, is make sure people know what all is available. And yeah, 12-step programs, I've dabbled in them. There's some from 12-step that I use to create my own recovery plan. There's a variety of resources out there, and it really is choosing your own adventure when it comes to building a recovery action plan. But you need to know what's out there in order to pull a little bit of the variety of resources to make it fit an individual perspective.
Yeah, and it is super individual. The last person I did a speaker spotlight for was Eliza David, and she's a new speaker, and she's a librarian in North Liberty is what she does now. She's also an author. She's got a really cool story, but she's also sober. And we were talking about that during the podcast, and she was talking about, you know, like the idea of hitting rock bottom, right? Mm-hmm. And she said, my rock bottom was really soft. it was just time for a decision. And you, on the other hand, your rock bottom was,
there were multiple. Yes, I had more than one.
And you were told that you weren't going to survive, if I remember correctly. I'm going off my memory, so gosh, I hope I'm not messing that up.
No, that was the message when I got out of the hospital for the fifth time, and that was in February of 2020. I had a doctor who just gave it to me straight and said, you know, you keep drinking, you're going to die.
How scary. And you had terrifying experiences. We talked about it before, and I was just...
Yep.
You know, so I think also the other message I would love for people to know, like, it sounds like smart recovery could help out with, you know, we all say everybody's got a vice, right? But if that vice is really starting to affect your life, your well-being, your health, that sounds like smart recovery could be an answer to help you get that under control and identify what it is that you need to do.
Yeah. And the fourth point of smart recovery is live a balanced life. So it's tools to help you get to that point. But then we also talk about strengths-based living. And what does it look like to live into your values? And how do you live a happy, sober life, whether that's sober from whatever substance or behavior is affecting your relationships? So it's not just about, you know, you're broken, here are the tools to fix it. It's, hey, you are awesome how you are. What do you want to do to build your sense of confidence?
I'm sick and tired. I don't know if it's getting older or if it's just the age that we're in, but I am sick and tired of focusing on what I'm not capable of.
We all know that, right? We know what we aren't good at. And that was one of the just great epiphanies around smart recovery, was that it wasn't about what was wrong with me. It was about, let's look at what's working for you and do more of what's working for you. And for 30 years, I've come from a strengths-based approach, whether I was doing human resources or organizational development, that's just been a critical piece of who I am and what I believe in. So to find a program like smart recovery that aligns with, hey, yeah, you're okay how you are. If you want to be better, and that's by your definition, here are some tools that can help you with that.
Yeah, I love everything that you have going on, and how strong of an advocate you are for sobriety in general. I think every individual person needs to get there in their time and in their way and all of that. But if there's not a message getting into people's ears, they may not understand that it's time, you know? Right. And yeah. So I think that's amazing. And I appreciate that about you so much. And I love how strong you are in your message. You live and breathe it. You really do. You had messaged me about cocktails and conversations, which we call one of our events. And I said, man, how do we change that? Because cocktail in and of itself does not mean alcohol. However, in the context of today's society, it certainly does mean alcohol. So, you know, we've kind of bounced around a few other C words, but see what we could do. But we do always make sure there's a well-curated mocktail option. In fact, the last several cocktails and conversations, I've made the mocktail because I just don't want to.
Yeah.
I just don't want to feel like crap later. So.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
And it's kind of nice to have something, refreshing and fruity or bitter or something, you know, that just is different. So.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. It's unfortunate that we have to use the word mocktail. But we do. I think it's important because I think that people in recovery need to understand that they are not being thrown into a strong alcoholic environment if they need to avoid that.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've got to understand.
Last night, Iowa City hosted a Top Chef event, and they had food, and then they also had mixologists. And so I was there with Unimpaired, and we were serving our smoked Comito drink, and people would come up and they'd taste it and they'd say, there's not alcohol in this. And I think it was because it was so flavorful that they didn't think that a non-alcohol drink could taste that good, because we're used to just the fruity childish drinks where, you know, if you're not drinking, you're drinking a Shirley Temple or soda. Or sparkling water. And this was a legit handcrafted signature mocktail or cocktail, just minus the alcohol.
Yeah. I think that's great. So, can you give us a little sneak peek into what you're going to share with us? I don't want you to tell too much, but you tell a very powerful story and you command a great a room powerfully. So I want to give people a little bit of a sneak peek into, how you're going to move that room on at Imperfectly You on March 24th.
It will be a journey of and through my values. And my five values are love, growth, connection, gratitude, and well-being. And it will be a shared journey that isn't mine alone.
Okay.
Is that enough of a teaser? Are you
Yes.
wanting
No, I like it. And
something
what I hope,
more?
no, I think that's perfect, actually. What I really hope people take away from that conversation, just in what I'm hearing right now, is that how important your values are. U Conferences started a business academy last year that went really well, and we're going to talk about it there. But the first thing that we did with people is sit down and go through their core values. Both, I mean, really, we were doing it as a business, but your business is so much of you as an entrepreneur, especially when you're young in your business, or maybe you're a solopreneur always. And they really are very the same. And the lesson we hammered through the entire 9 months was that when you are true to your values and you measure everything with that measuring tape of, does this fit who I said I wanted to be? Then things get a lot easier. Your boundaries get easier. Your decisions get easier. The way you market yourself gets easier. And I suppose that, I would love to see that same message hammered home on a personal level too. So it sounds like you're going to hit that.
That's the key message that I hope people take away is just an understanding of perhaps an invitation to get up close and personal with their values and find ways that they can live into their values more intentionally and mindfully.
Yeah, that's very cool. I will say, I'm not much of a pop drinker, so I am glad that the world has evolved a lot more into alcohol is one thing, but pop is really bad for you too, right? Sometimes we trade one vice for the other. So when you were mentioning like sparkling water, I was like, but I'm really glad that exists because I get my bubbly without all the other stuff. So I think if we can watch what the world has done with pop and soda, and cleaning up their act, I think we'll hopefully see the same thing with cocktails. And I mean, I for one would love to see a lot more restaurants employ that sort of stuff beyond just a, I think the dry bar is great. I think it's a phenomenal idea, and especially for people that are early in recovery or maybe can't be, or maybe want to play a game of pool or shoot some darts or listen to a band or all the things that happen at a bar but can't be around the alcohol. I think that's great. What else do you have going on? Is there any other fun things you have around the corner? I know you're in Des Moines right now, in a
I'm
hotel.
in Des Moines right now. I have quite a few speaking engagements coming up, which I love. So of course, U Conferences is kind of kicking off that spring speaking season. And the messages are really around values and personal leadership. What I have learned in the connection between my recovery journey and my leadership journey is essentially they were the same. I just didn't know that until I made the conscious decision to lead myself first. And leading myself first means looking at how am I aligning what I do with who I am. When that's out of whack, then yeah, decisions are harder. We're all over the place, not necessarily knowing what direction we're going. And it's really been a combination of not only talking about leadership or recovery, it's that they're both part of the same conversation.
Yeah, that's amazing. And you're right. Self-leadership. I think that conversation could be taught a lot earlier in life. I always laugh when people say, I really wish I would have learned taxes in high school. And I laugh because I think you probably wouldn't have paid attention then either. But I think self-leadership is something I have two teenagers right now, and one of the things I'm learning is I don't really like the word selfish nature of teenagers, but that's the only it's the only phrase I have. But they're very teenagers are just very inward, and the world does. I will tell my dad right now, I'm very sorry. Yes, the world did revolve around me. No, I didn't care about anybody but myself. Now I get what you were saying. But,
right.
But, you know, when that is how your brain is wired at a young age, wouldn't that be a great time to start teaching self-leadership?
I know. Yes. And it's actually the Leadership Challenge has a student version called the Student Leadership Challenge. And I am also certified in the Student Leadership Challenge. So being more intentional about getting into the University of Iowa and other colleges and universities throughout the state, and just talking about what are you offering in terms of leadership development, not only as a leader of a team or a group, but this quality of leading yourself first by knowing what your values are and then doing the things that align with your values.
Yeah, I mean, so really those comes down to integrity, right? It just comes down, you know, I've always had a real big issue with, it's very prevalent in politicians, so I'll just use that as an example. You know, that we think we align with a politician's values or whatever, and then you find out things that are going on, you know, behind closed doors and backhanded deals, and things start coming out and out into the light, and you just like, at what point does somebody decide that they're going to start crossing the line in their own integrity? But I feel like that's what the bottom line of self-leadership is. But because the reward of cheating is so sweet and getting away with it, I think that we learn that, you know, holding ourselves to our values is not always mm-hmm. the easy choice to make. So,
right. Yeah. The more that we practice those behaviors that are in alignment, the more it just becomes our natural way of leading ourselves, which then influences the way we lead others with intention and integrity. It just becomes a natural outgrowth of who we are.
You know, it's so true. When U conferences a few years ago, when we formed a committee to, one of the first things we did was establish our core values and, mm-hmm. you know, what words we wanted to identify with, and everything that we end up doing, every decision we make, from like what bank we are banking with, to the speakers mm-hmm. that end up on the stage, to the sponsors that we go looking, you know, go solicit, it all has everything to do with, do they align with what we said we want to be and who we want to be? And if they don't, even though sometimes, you know, you'll get this opportunity to reach out to somebody that maybe has like a big following on social media or something, but you're like, yeah, but they just don't quite line up, you know, and it really makes a big difference. It really holds you to your integrity. And I think mm-hmm. that's really cool that you're teaching that. So
thank you.
Boldly.
Well,
I will wrap up this conversation. I'll make sure you're linked in the podcast description and in the live video, and we share all of this all over the World Wide Web. I'm so excited for what you have going on and what you're offering to the world. Whether people come to you, I mean, they better come to the conference. Like, but if you're unable to make it, you can follow Angie's page. She shares all of her stuff very well, and you can see her. Her interview on Hello Iowa, if you scroll down, she's got a guest blog with Women Lead Change that was really, really good. Just seeing you align with all of these organizations that are standing up and making a difference and doing the thing is really, really cool. So I think everybody
thank
should
you.
Take a couple minutes and get their dose of Angie today.
Well, thank you. I'm grateful for the opportunity, Kendra. It's great to be partnering with you conferences again and celebrating all the things that are imperfectly perfect about all of us.
Yeah, you're so right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, truly. Isn't she great? We are so excited to have her on the U Conferences stage later this month. It is March 1st. Later this month. We have 23 whole days to get ready, and the sun is setting, folks. So make sure you get your tickets. Go to uconferences.com, click on events, and you can get your tickets. Use the code Angie and get $10 off your in-person ticket. I hope we will see you later in March. And thank you for hanging out with me on today's episode.